In last class, I think we had left off. We were looking at Hannah. Man, I went blank for a minute there. We looked at 1 Samuel and the idea of Hannah as far as that when she was praying, it was not speaking out loud, that her voice was not heard. And then we also saw that in verse 13, said that she was speaking in her heart. Now, I had listed right up under here, I had listed a couple of other verses we could look at. Basically, now these weren't prayers or anything, but this was just the idea of God knowing our heart. And in 1 Samuel 16:7, well, actually, if you start back in verse 6, it said, when they had entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And I'm mainly just using this as the idea, as the Lord looks at our hearts. And the other verses that we can look at, like in John 2:25, in 2:25 it said, and because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. And again, this is just the idea that God knows. Okay? And when we pray, that's one thing we need to keep in mind. When we're whether audible, like we were looking at it, audible or non, like Hannah, we still need to keep in mind that God knows our hearts. And one reason I was looking at that is I think we need to keep that in mind, things we pray about, because or maybe in the way that we pray, because we need to be honest when we're praying, because again, God knows. And now, well, I know this lesson that we're looking at here was public prayer, and one thing that I want us to keep in mind, that especially when we're leading, because we were looking at leading prayers, we need to some things we can keep in mind are maybe the circumstances, and not just when we lead. Kind of that's what I looked at in this point, but really we always, whatever is going on, even when it's personal prayer, of course we need to keep in mind the circumstances. But I was just, I focused on in the sense of leading prayer. Just for example, if we were leading prayer in assembly before a lesson, if I get up there to lead a prayer before the lesson and I thank God for the food, you might wonder where my thoughts were at. So we need to think about what we're praying for. And because I guess the idea is we need to focus on what we're praying for. Because if I got up there and did that, most likely I just was just speaking out of habit instead of actual thought. So just something that we need to keep in mind. And also when we are let's say you were before a lesson or whatever, that's, or not just a lesson, but after a song or anything like that, that's for us that lead, that's something for us to consider too, to think about some of the things we just were singing about, or some of the things that we were just studying about. Because those are things, if that was fresh on our mind, should be on our hearts anyway. So, that, like I just said, that's part of our worship service. I mean, as far as, and when we're praying in connection with, we can speak of some of the things that we were just speaking of as part of worship. Now, like I just said, mostly we were, some of the focus, what we had been looking on was on the assembly. But public prayer, that's not the only time we could pray in public. It's not just in the assembly. We might pray together as a group if we're, as we've looked at before, sharing a common meal, or maybe in a home Bible study, you know, we pray then. But what about, are there other functions that we might be attending that we might pray? And what I had in mind, well, let's say, what if you're the only Christian there? Let's say you're at work or something. Because you might not have run across this, but you might be at a place that you have run across this thing.
Like mealtime or something? Is that what you're...
Yeah, let's say they have a special function going on and they have food. Because I know our work does that at the small plant here. When they're doing that, they've called on people to lead a prayer. Now, what if you're the only Christian there? Can you pray?
Sure.
Okay. Sir?
Good opportunity.
Exactly. And that, we're going to look at some of that in just a second. Exactly. It is a good opportunity. Plus, the idea is when you're leading, you're still praying. And you're still speaking to God. And so whether it's at work or maybe a family function, as far as where there might not be other Christians there, or there could be some, a few, you know, I think it's okay to lead a prayer. Now, we've got to keep in mind what we've already looked at as far as prayer, though. When we're praying, like we just said, we're praying to God. We're communicating to God. So, when I'm speaking to God, other people's conditions doesn't change my condition with God. Because I can still approach Him. And so let's say we're doing that, we're praying to God, He hears us. Now, on the other foot, if the other people, they might agree, they might say amen or whatever. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that He's going to hear them, in the sense that if they don't have the relationship with God, then He doesn't hear them. So, as what Jim just mentioned, it could bring opportunity, because this might show them something about you that they don't know. I mean, because this could be people that, yeah, y'all work together, but y'all might not be working in the same area, so they really might not know a lot about you. That could bring opportunity. They could, what, maybe some of the things that you've mentioned might spark questions. So, if we're given the opportunity, we need to think of it as that, as an opportunity. And keep in mind the doors that could be opened because of this opportunity. It might give us opportunity to teach someone that heard you. And if we do this, so we need to keep in mind the things we're saying. And maybe also, now we're praying to God, but still we need to keep in mind what we're saying as far as maybe them understanding what you mean. So there might be that opportunity to speak to them. So just my point on that is it could be an opportunity and we could use it as that if we get that opportunity. Now, I'm sure people have comments or thoughts or anything on that. Any comments or questions? No? No? Well, I saw you smiling back there.
You want to fill in the void? You want to fill in the vacuum?
No.
Can I speak to that? I mean, that thing, we've covered this before, but it's kind of about what if there are no other Christians there. Step back from that a minute. Point of fact, we don't know.
Right.
We don't absolutely know when we pray amongst those who profess to be Christians what their relationship at that point in time with God is. And we know by their fruits, hopefully, or have a good idea, but truth be told, the only person that knows whether they're in fellowship with God is
God.
So, we're praying to God. Yes, we talk about that. And hopefully those around us that are Christians are indeed Christians when they're in fellowship with God. All the more, the better that is.
Any other thoughts or comments? Or? No? Okay. Oh, I know we're going to have comments now. Okay, we're going to move on to the next part. So we just looked at as far as how one should lead a prayer. Now we want to look at who can lead. Now I put a question here, and it's not really a trick question, but I hope that we thought about it, because it said, can a woman lead a prayer? And says, please give verses to support your answer. But please think about the question. There's more than one answer. So, can a woman lead a prayer?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Thank you. That is the answer I was looking for. yes, a woman can lead a prayer. But, at this point, I won't even say it that way. We'll just continue on. That'll come out further here. A woman can lead a prayer, but it has to do with her authority as far as who she's leading and who she has the authority over. Now, because I'm sure I haven't been to one, but I'm sure like this morning when y'all had class, I'm sure somebody led a prayer. Mm-hmm. Okay. So women leading other women in prayer, or like the ladies' Bible class, or women leading children in prayer, Bible class, or their own children at home. So we see in that sense that yes, women can lead prayer. But I know the other sense that probably was popping up in people's mind as well is like maybe our assembly. Now, why wouldn't a woman be able to lead the normal assembly?
Is there to keep silent?
Okay. And that that has to do with authority. Now these are circumstances that women don't have the authority to lead. As far as, well, one thing you look at is in Genesis 3:16 that they can't lead men, and believer or non-believer. And in 1 Corinthians 14, let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. Corinthians 14:19. Well, I didn't put on y'all's lesson, but in 14:19-35 gives some information there. We're not going to read all of that, but when you read this, we can see what this idea of speak is talking about. In verse 26. You can see that contextually it is speaking of addressing the assembly, except for in verse 28. Let him speak to himself and to God. So when talking about speaking or keeping silent, because both words are used in here, this is in connection with, we see, with addressing the assembly. And it says women are told to keep silent, so meaning as far as addressing or leading the assembly. And this is to accord with God's law to women's submission to man. And verse 35 just shows or builds on whom they are to be submissive to. So we've seen that, yes, women can lead prayer, but it depends on the circumstances. And it's not because of, we see here, it's not because of lack of ability, of course. It's just because of authority.
What scripture did you use to support that answer?
Which answer?
That a woman can lead a prayer.
Can lead a prayer? Mm-hmm. Do you? Well, I didn't come up with an actual scripture to say that one could, but or did you have a certain one in
were
mind?
Were we supposed to?
Huh?
Weren't we supposed to?
Well, what I meant was as far as my second part of the answer, I did have scripture for it.
Oh, if it was a no?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, I just put Acts 16 because the Lydia and other women were praying.
Were praying, okay.
So I assume they could have been praying individually, you know, silently or whatever, but there's a possibility that somebody was leading prayer.
Okay, that's good.
Anything I came up with, I didn't know what you had in mind.
I'm sorry, I worded that. I should have worded it differently. My focus on that part was actually on the second part of that answer.
What's the second part?
No.
As far as the assembly part. Well, because see, I said here that there's more than one answer.
Oh, I see. No, in the assembly.
Yeah. I should have worded that better. But that's still a good answer you put for it. But, are there any, yes?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Can a child lead a prayer? Not in the assembly.
And I'm not going to tell you I can answer this, but in what's... What do you mean? In what sense? Personal prayer?
At the table at home or in the classroom?
Well, I think, number one, when we pray, it has to do with being able to be heard. Okay. You know, as far as being right with God. So if they're a little child, then of course they have that connection, that avenue. But as far as, do you mean, are they... leading you or...
Leading the prayer at the table or leading in the classroom.
don't know. I have to think about that. I mean, I don't necessarily have. I don't have any scripture to back that up off the top of my head. But
wouldn't that be a way of teaching them? I would say yes. I mean,
yeah, but just because you're teaching them doesn't necessarily give you authority to do things. So, I mean, if that was the fact, you could let them partake of the Lord's Supper. But I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that one? Yes, sir.
As far as Cornelius led prayer for God, heard those before he was, you know, Christian. I mean, before he's a believer. God heard those prayers. I don't see anything wrong with necessarily in itself wrong. I mean, if it's, I don't know if it's in the same sense,
right?
But I don't see anything wrong with it.
Well, definitely
teaching. I'm not teaching that child.
Right.
I was saying I don't see anything necessarily wrong with that. I was thinking about Cornelius.
Yeah, but to say that you're doing it just because the end result is teaching, I don't think that gives any the okay for anything. Because you could run into other problems. I mean, just like the Lord's Supper or anything like that. And as far as, well, what we're going to get to here in a little bit, is we're going to see this idea that hearing prayers or God hearing our prayers has to do with our condition.
Right.
With God. And of course, well, here, let me put it this way. When I taught high school classes before, and I might not be right on this, as far as answering that question, to me it might depend on if it's leading is the male or a female too. But not only that, when I've taught high school classes, kids that were of age and were not Christians, when I had two boys in there at that time, they weren't. I did not allow them to lead prayer because I didn't feel that that was right. And that's me. But does anybody have any thoughts on that?
Let me get this straight in my head. What was Cornelius' condition?
Where's that at, Jim?
What's it at? He was not a baptized believer. Well,
Acts 10.
Right. And it's stated in his, if I'm not mistaken, maybe my memory serves me wrong. I'm glad I knew that.
That's why I want to look at it, because I can't work off memory. I know that.
Well, I can't do that.
It said he was a devout man, and he feared God and gave alms to Israel. He prayed to God always.
Verse 4.
Yeah, verse 4.
His prayers were heard.
Mm-hmm. And that was before he was, I believe, was it not?
He was not converted at that point. That's your question. That's your question.
Right.
No, he never obeyed the gospel at that point.
So.
He'd also received the Holy Spirit.
I don't know, Jim. I'd have to look at that.
That was one. Maybe I think it's not right there, but that's where I was going with that. Yeah.
Okay. But we do see that he was that he feared God in that sense. Not saying that. I mean, that doesn't necessarily say his connection, but as far as maybe his attitude towards God. But let me look at that, and I will...
You understand where I'm going with this. He was not a believer.
Right. But...
Now, wait a minute. He was not a believer in Christ.
Right.
He
was a believer in God.
Yeah, right.
Right.
I understand.
Well, let's say that... let's look at... Okay. Well, and that, in a sense, that kind of goes into what I was looking at next is I raised the question as far as praying, do they have to be a Christian? So does that mean just anybody can pray?
Pray or lead prayer publicly? What are you looking at?
Well, things. Yes, they are, but as far as in the sense of being heard, what about James 5:16. What's it tell us about? Let's go over to James. Wrong chapter. And the second part of that verse, we see that the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So, one reason why I'm pointing to this is has something to do with this righteous man, how that prayer can be effective. Now, if we look at John 9,
these are just prayers. They're not leading prayers, right? Are we not on leading prayers anymore?
Well, in what sense? I'm not sure I follow your question.
Well, I didn't know if we'd left that topic.
Well, and the question I raised as far as leading a prayer, I think it was still under leading. Let me see. Yes, as far as leading a prayer, do they have to be a Christian? It was the actual question of the topic, yes.
Okay.
But in John 9:31 says, we know that God does not hear sinners.
What verse are you in?
In John 9:31.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does His will, He hears them. So maybe, I don't know, I'll have to look at that a little more in connection with Acts 10 there. And I will look at that and see if I can. I can't promise that I can come up with anything, but.
Did also come back to the kids leading a prayer, or are we done with that topic? I'm confused.
Well, right now we got into as far as Christians.
Right. I didn't know if we tabled her question or if we'd answered her question.
I don't know. Did I answer your question? Okay. Well. What was the question?
Well, you said you didn't know the answer.
Okay, then I answered your question.
I was expecting somebody to pop up and say something else.
Okay. Wally.
I did this last time. I'll be back 15 minutes.
Give us a short answer.
Right.
I'm sorry, I didn't know that. On which part of the question?
Can kids lead a prayer?
Yeah, in the classroom or at the
table or anything like that.
Well, I thought we answered some of that.
I don't know that we did.
I didn't hear anything. What's your answer? We're trying to go off on Cornelius.
Well, I was.
Yeah, we got.
Okay,
got sidetracked in Cornelius.
Okay. Some of what I was talking about, it depends, like, because I did.
I teach a class where there's no Christians.
Okay.
I wouldn't be in a class where there's Christians, so.
Right, right.
I'm talking about
that.
A class I'm in or at home with my family.
I'm not sure. I'd have to look at that. I mean, I don't see necessarily a problem with kids praying because I think they have a connection.
You did say that.
Because, I mean, they're at that point,
well,
they're right with God.
According to this verse, anybody who is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears Him.
Okay.
Well, a kid could come under that category as well.
Right. And I was looking at the sense of the innocence as far as, you know, connection there. Because then once they get to the age of knowing better, then that's why I had mentioned in some of the classes that then I'm not sure. Personally, I think that they shouldn't.
Because they know the difference between right and wrong, and they haven't made that choice to
Right.
Kind of got it.
Right. Right. So sorry if I wasn't clear on that. That was okay. My thought.
Well, my question's a little different because I'm a woman.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
As far as...
leading you?
Yeah.
Got it.
Who is a Christian and right. Teaching a class full of kids.
I don't necessarily see a problem with that. I don't know if everybody would agree with me on that. Does anybody have any thoughts or comments on that? As far as a lady that is leading the class or teaching the class and having one of the kids lead a prayer. Any thoughts?
I guess my thought, Craig, is... and let me first of all address the one where, you know, if you're teaching a class where, you know, the children are at an age of accountability, then I think it's not proper for, you know, the non-Christians to, you know, to lead in prayer. But in an occasion where you have children who are not at the age of accountability, that are young, you know, the disciples came to Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray.
Right.
You have to learn. So I have no problem in a woman ask in a class of children under the age of accountability for them to have them lead a prayer in terms of teaching that.
Okay.
Okay. Now, taking it a step further. Stop it.
Go ahead.
You have and we've kind of talked about this before. You have a woman, and then her relationship, she has a son,
mm-hmm.
but her son is a Christian.
Right.
Can she still lead a prayer in his presence?
I don't think so. Because to me, that's still a lot of what all of this has to do with. Let's say, well, I don't have any examples of people. Well, let's say if it was Jonathan. Now, you might not think of it the same because to you, Jonathan's not your son.
Right.
But that doesn't mean Sandra couldn't have that same question. So, does that change anything as far as the connection there? Why does it matter if he's 16 or he's 35? Would it matter when he's 35? Is it different?
He's not under your authority as far as in your household.
But what if I still am trying to teach him? Because he's still, you know, he's still at an age, a teachable age, correct?
Right. I don't feel comfortable. I don't think that that's right because that's where some of the things change for me as far as because of his accountability. But okay. That's just my thoughts. Are there any...
Wally?
I find this fascinating. I don't know why you all haven't solved this in ladies' class. I mean, you don't have ample opportunity.
We probably solve it a little differently.
Oh, let's see. Can we start at the back and work forward?
Any direction you want.
I'm not going to answer all your questions. I'll tell you that right now. There's a... I was starting with, do they have to be a Christian? And we'll work back from that. I was like somebody else. Do you mean to lead a prayer? Do you mean
right.
To pray? Let's just take a crowd for a minute. You're in a crowd at work, and your boss picks on Joe. Says, Joe, will you lead a prayer? Joe's a good Baptist. Joe, will you lead a prayer? Can you lead it?
Yeah, he can lead.
Well, he can talk. I don't know. I mean,
and whether you agree with what he says, that's a different
exactly.
story.
Exactly, he can lead it.
Right.
Now the question is God going to hear it?
Right.
I think what you mean. I guess what you mean by this question. Well, I'm not sure what you meant by.
Well, at first, originally, my question was assembly, but then we got into just some other questions and stuff.
Take a different, whole different case. You have a gathering at your house, and you have three Baptists from the neighborhood come over, or three atheists. I don't know. You know, pick on something better than atheists. Let's go with you ask a Catholic to lead prayer?
Me, personally, no.
Absolutely, I wouldn't either. Absolutely not. Because I believe on, I mean, for a variety of reasons,
right.
But it's really, you know, I don't have, you know, based on what I'm doing at that point in time, I'm telling the rest of the audience what I concur in. By,
right.
I'm under control then.
Right.
I'm in authority at that
right.
My household. You're in a party, and your boss says, Joe, same Joe, he's Catholic now, same Joe, did you lead a prayer? You can lead that prayer. And it doesn't impact your prayer.
Right.
At all. And not but, to God whether or not that prayer is effective. You know, his prayer.
Right.
And so you know, the question, there is a, you know, it depends really what your question is and my way of thinking what the answer is.
Okay. Now,
somebody might want to take a section of what I just said and feel free to do it. But that, you know, that's where I come to. I think it goes back to Jim's point. Will God hear that man's prayer, whoever that man is? Well, Cornelius says maybe. But that's up to him and God, not me.
Right.
I do not know. See. So that's kind of the way I get to the answer to that question.
Okay.
Not that anybody asked me to answer that question. I guess to go back to Lauren's question. How did the ladies answer that question then? Did y'all answer
it? We've never asked.
You never asked it.
In
never
class?
Asked.
Yeah.
No, we've never discussed that. That I recall.
Mm-hmm. Picking on great.
We're talking about we're talking about the tongue. I guess we have to throw some prayer in there.
Yeah.
So you're in a class of kids. And, you know, I don't have, personally, and I don't know if I can defend it, but personally I have no problem with children leading a prayer. Again, they're not praying for me
right.
in that class. And so it's a question of whether or not, and I'm an authority in the class, I can ask them, or one of the ladies who are generation, you can ask them to do that. And if the judgment thing in my mind becomes one of when you do that, is it really in an environment and ages and that kind of thing where that is not saying something that is erroneous to say, i.e., you've got somebody, you're 14 years old now, and you've got kids that are no better but haven't made a decision
right.
to obey God, and you're still teaching them. And you say, okay, you pray. Well, what you're saying there, I think, is anybody can pray. It really doesn't, you know, prayer is not, there's nothing special about prayer. It's just a different message.
Right, right.
But to be able to, you know, I can't go to the Bible and say, well, here's 6-year-olds or 7-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know, the closest thing I can get to it is the nature of the child. And the child is, as far as I know, is innocent. And it is you are teaching. That's what's going on. And yet that child is innocent. And he, you know, whatever he knows, and I've heard some beautiful prayers out of children. I mean, they're just, you know how they are innocent. I mean, but they do sort of pour out their hearts, probably too much of an exaggeration, but they'll just say, you know, say prayers, talk to God, and bring up things that I wasn't even thinking about.
Yeah.
But that doesn't justify it.
Right.
You still want to go find out, you know, what is the principle? And I, you know, it goes back to kind of what y'all have been saying, that here's a person, a kid, a child, that really you are in a teaching mode, is what you are. You're using that as a vehicle to teach them how to pray. And their prayer, between them and God, again, I can't, you know, God would have to be the judge about their specific prayer. But even as a teacher, my prayer is going to be independent of theirs anyway.
Right.
In the midst of that class. I don't know if that helps, Lauren.
It does.
Yes, sir. I think another thing, first think about maybe a question, maybe it's in a gray judgment area, answer to Don's question. We kind of go back to why did God give man rule over the woman? And he want the woman to be in a position of rule or of authority. And so in the situation of Don, or any situation, you know, is the woman going to be in a position of of authority, in a position of rule. And I'm, the thing that Don brings, I'm kind of in the gray area. I mean, you know, just another person and a son or her family and a woman praying. Is she really exercising authority over her son of rule? And it's not clear to me that that's happening. Now, definitely right. It's an assembly and right. Amongst other people, but between just a mother and a son and the mother praying, even if the son is of cage ability, you know, I'm waffling, but I think it kind of all gets back to, you know, is she exercising rule or authority over that in that position? If she's not, then that's why God put, you know, the man over the woman. And so I think maybe that's another consideration.
If she has a 16-year-old son, she better have a position of authority over him.
Right.
Right.
As long
right.
as he's living in her home as underage and she's the mother.
Right.
Now, I don't know how that connects on to, I kind of agree with Wally. Rocky, it's a little gray there. So,
yeah.
As far as praying, but.
Well, I definitely I think she has authority over her, over him, but as far as I don't know. I'm not comfortable as
now,
far as
if
her
you
leading.
Were the, if you were there, no, I wouldn't. But there
no,
may
I'm,
be times
you
where
mean.
You're not there.
Right.
What makes, I mean, differentiating matter, what, in the case of Dawn and Dylan, that age, she indeed, like Rocky says, and she has authority over him.
Right.
Period. He's not a man. He may be a Christian.
Okay.
I mean, he's male, don't get me wrong, but he's still a child under your roof. It isn't becoming a Christian, being a Christian is not the issue that converts the situation from her being allowed to have authority or not have authority.
Okay.
It's whether he's a man or not. And that's, you know, they call that the gray area of your life. But there comes a time, and I don't know what that time is, specifically, there comes a time when that relationship will change.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in truth, I think, at least that's the principle I can follow, is that's the point in time, whenever that authority ceases, then that ability to be able to lead a prayer in His presence would cease. Now, I probably cease that a lot earlier than even that point in time, but because if I was a woman, I wouldn't feel comfortable with it, probably.
Right.
I don't know. Not sure why, just probably wouldn't. Just like some others maybe now. But I think from the standpoint of what's God's word, it is a case of when does that authority cease? So when does that authority establish itself? That is, he has, a woman's not to exercise authority over a man. When is he a man?
Okay.
And maybe that helps in the prayer aspect of it, because I think, somebody can point out where I'm wrong, that's fine. It is kind of gray. I think as long as you're in that situation, I don't know why telling him to take out the garbage would be, rather than leading a prayer, would be any different than telling him to take out the garbage in terms of your authority to do that.
Okay. Well, some good things to think about. Well, thank y'all for y'all's comments.
Never mind, have this class over again.